Good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Monday. It's the 23rd day of June. And, of course, Brother David Tucker in with us. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir.
And then across the way is Joe Marner.
Well, good morning.
How's Joe doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
No, well, medium well or well done?
Well, both.
Especially with this weather.
It feels like August 1st is what it feels like.
Tell me about it. I was out yesterday watering my mom's flowers across the road, and I thought I was going to die. I was like, man, it's hot out here. Fat boys are not used to sweating like that, you know.
Well, I had actually made plans after Sunday night church. I was going to go out to the farm pond there and go fish for catfish. And yeah. I got home and got inside the house, and I said, I ain't going back out there.
Nah.
I'm done.
Why would you want to torture yourself?
Laid on the couch.
Yeah, that's right. It was too hot to do anything.
Well, I tell you, today we're going to be looking at the prophecies of God over in Daniel in chapter 7. But as we get there, we're going to be talking about what prophecy is and how the Scripture interprets prophecy for us. The reason I wanted to do that today is because of course, what's happened over the weekend.
Yes.
With the bombing in Iran, and there's so much turmoil right now in the Middle East, and because we've now stepped all the way in. You know, yeah. We were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
mm-hmm.
talking anymore. Bombs have dropped from planes, and so now America has committed itself in a way that's different. And so folks are, you know, saying, well, you know, prophetically, this is right, or, you know, according to God's word, this is what we should or should not do. Well, we probably need to understand what prophecy is and how to handle that so that we make good interpretations as we go. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be good for us to kind of walk through that. We're not going to get into the politics of it.
Sure.
We're simply going to get into the word of it.
Recently, I was talking to a longtime friend about Christian radio in general. He said something that impacted me specifically. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. He said, I'm glad you're listener funded. I enjoy listening without a long time of interruptions, he said. Missionary Radio is 100% listener funded. The truth is, it's time to share with you that summer slowdown has hit us early this year. We had a great fundraiser in the spring, but the actual funds are not coming in adequately to meet the expenses. We are praying and sharing with you the need is great. We believe we can remain listener funded with your generous help. We know you are our partner in this ministry and you want to know. Send your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241, or go online to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your credit or debit card through Cornerstone Payment System. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. Thank you for your partnership in ministry with Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch.
Well, today, because of all the events that have happened over the weekend that our nation is now committed into, a lot of folks were talking prophecy and things of that nature. And we are going to take a look a little bit in Daniel, there in chapter 7, at what some of those prophecies are. We're not going to be talking about the politics of the day, but what we're going to do is we're going to actually talk about how to read prophecy and understand prophecy so that you can make sure that you're not overstepping in prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to give a good definition of prophecy, what would you kind of summarize, guys, as this is what prophecy is? If just off the top of your head, on an early Monday morning, what's the best option you got for the concept of prophecy? What do you think? And there's silence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, prophecy, I mean, pretty much prophesying over something that's supposed to take place.
Okay. So future-oriented.
Future-oriented. Could be now. I mean, who knows?
Okay.
I know there's been prophecy, you know, saying, you know, of course, over the years, Jesus is returning
mm-hmm.
on a certain day.
Yes.
But we don't know the day nor the hour.
Calendarizing.
Yeah.
The will of God.
But we don't know.
Okay.
But there's many prophecies, you know, different prophecies
sure.
out there. So
I think there's also an aspect of prophecy was when you see an event occur, many of us wonder, well, what does this mean?
Yes.
Right.
How does the Bible address this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, after 9/11,
yes,
there were a number of books or booklets written, you know, what is God saying to us?
That's right.
Yes.
Through the events of 9/11.
Yes.
And probably just the same with current, you know, more current events 20-some years later.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I agree. There's a couple of ways that I kind of look at prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
One is that prophecy is like a puzzle. God has a lot of the pieces already in place, but he's holding a couple that are outside the puzzle, if you think of it in that way. And what he says through prophecy is, I'm going to place this in, and it's going to complete this picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. A lot of times when we read prophecy, what we're reading is, well, like messianic prophecy. That was a statement long ago, before the birth of Christ, that talked about the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now we're looking at it with hindsight, saying, oh, yeah, we see how the piece fits.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was a little harder for them to grasp, you know, okay, so what you mean is this,
yeah,
right? So for them, being future tense, the puzzle piece is a little more fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
For us, past tense, looking at it in history, we can see the clear outline of every prophecy that's connected there. So,
yeah, without the advantage of the New Testament to interpret the old, you know, it all kind of blends together because there are prophecies of Jesus' first coming. There's also prophecies of his second coming.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, when we get over to Daniel, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because it's interesting in reading through the commentators how they talk about it, the Christ reference being the second coming only. And others argue that it was a spiritual first coming in it. And so there are interesting concepts there. But so prophecy is a bit of a puzzle piece that God is placing. And just like us, when we're looking at a puzzle and we see that piece on the outside of the puzzle, it's outside the border, we say, I know where that fits. And we get excited. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to put that in. But there's another side to it, and that is for us, from the human standpoint, we need to understand that prophecy is not us. Prophecy is God. It's 100% God.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who were called prophets, but understand a prophet was only one who was prophesying what God said. If you aren't saying what God says, then you ain't saying nothing. All you have is hot air if you aren't actually speaking the word of God. And so I wanted to start with a scripture to kind of put that into perspective. So, Joe, if you would, read for me, I'm going to say verse 18, down through the end of chapter 1 of 2 Peter.
Okay, 2 Peter 1,
yes,
starting
sir.
At verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well if you pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. After all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
So in this Scripture, what we have is a statement. It's a very clear and concise statement. What he says is that we ourselves have heard God speak. And he's talking about hearing Christ speak. And he's actually giving reference all the way back into the
Transfiguration.
Mm-hmm. So he's got a little bit of history in it, but he's also projecting a little bit of future in it. He's saying, and you would do well to pay attention to what we're saying because what's coming has the same authority because we're speaking from God's voice. And the phrase that he uses in verse 20 is very, very clear. There's no denying it, debating it, trying to argue over it. He says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. It doesn't have its origin in human will. Prophets only speak from God as they're carried along by the Spirit. I have heard a lot of folks as of late speaking prophecy, but they, instead of using the term prophecy, they say, well, I'm manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by my faith, I'm going to manifest that this is going to happen. And I actually saw it on a secular situation, not a Christian one. There's a guy named Mike Rowe. He does dirty jobs and a bunch of other stuff. And there was a lady that he met, and she's a very sweet lady. And she was excited to meet him, and she says, you know, I manifested that I would meet you. I envisioned that I would meet you. I positively formulated in my mind the image.
Sure.
And so now I have.
Yeah.
And she kind of said, you know, I'm setting my own course here. I can speak and prophetically cause this to come into being. Now, there is such a thing as having a positive mental attitude, and that positive mental attitude can definitely affect the way that you engage as you walk forward in life, and it'll change things that are around you. There's no doubt about that. It's like if you wake up and turn the alarm clock off and go to work, you might get a paycheck at the end of the week. That's not prophetic, right? If you wake up and you place these things in your mind and say, I'm gonna get about this, well, then you're going to get about that, and that is okay. That's a wonderful thing. But that's not the same thing as prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. When we're talking about prophecy, we are talking about someone who is literally only the channel and not the instrument. A lot of times we think of prophets in the Old Testament, and we think of people that say they have the gift of prophecy even today. And we see individuals who are speaking as if they are an instrument of God. And the truth is, you're only a channel of God. You're not, I don't want to say this without being really offensive, you're not the magic wand that God's waving. He can do this without you. He's chosen to speak through you because he wants to reveal something. And the same is true for preaching, by the way. I feel the exact same way about preaching. There are a lot of preachers who think a lot of their opinion. I don't. My opinion needs to not be heard, but the Word of God needs to be heard well. And so all I want to do is try to make the Word of God clear. So when we're talking about prophecy and the gift of prophecy and all this other stuff, a lot of folks put a lot of stock in the individual who is the prophet. Don't. Because Peter himself says, right there in 2 Peter, he says, all the prophet can do is be carried along by the Holy Spirit and speak the words that God has placed within them. They are simply a channel. And God speaks through donkeys, and he speaks through prophets. You know, he speaks through donkeys, and he speaks through preachers. When God speaks, it's important.
And many of the prophets in their lifetime, they had no clue how what they wrote down the Holy Spirit led them, how it was going to be fulfilled or when.
Right, exactly. And remember, too, that when you're talking about Old Testament prophecy, you're talking about a time period when they didn't have the written Word of God as accessible. And so the prophet's voice did carry a lot more weight, had to carry a lot more weight. Today, that's not necessarily the case because God's literally written down his prophecy. So to have somebody walking around saying, well, hey, I can tell you where God's going in this, that's wonderful. So can the Bible. I can go grab a book off my shelf and through the Holy Spirit and petition with him, he can declare for me where things are going. He can show me every puzzle piece that's going to be fitted in. And so the role of the prophet today is different. It is, well, in very real sense, limited because we already have been given the written word. And that also means that as we look at prophecy, we need to make sure that what we're hearing from the individual matches with what God has written in His Word. A lot of folks, you know, will say a lot of things, but you need to take what they say and then place it against that scripture. Place it against the Word of God and say, is this accurate? You know? I do believe in prophecy. I believe it's real. But I think Peter is right, and that is that prophecy has its role in God's work. Mm-hmm. But it's not us. It's all about Him. Now, we're going to jump from here over into the book of Daniel. But first, we're going to speak about some truly positive things. We're not simply going to manifest. We're going to speak positively about what has already taken place in God's will through Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Missionary Radio, my radio is always on Missionary Radio in my home and car. Last week, my granddaughter, who is 6.5 years old and had accepted Jesus a couple of months ago, was here playing with her toys when she stopped and looked up and walked over to the radio and listened for a minute. Alistair Begg was preaching. She asked me to turn it up louder. Then she went back to her toys and continued playing. Just wanted you all to know how much Missionary Radio blesses so many people. Keep it up. Love in Christ, a Clarksville listener. Also from Clarksville, thank you all for being there.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
So we're going to be talking about prophecy today, and the first way that we were talking about prophecy was over there in 2 Peter, where he says literally, it's not the prophet, it's the prophecy, it's the Word of God. And the prophet is only a conduit that God uses. The reason that's so important, again, is because, and this is a term that I've used multiple times now, it's a God promise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prophecy is nothing more than God saying, I know what I'm doing, and I promise you, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's a God promise.
Mm-hmm.
If a prophecy is anything to do with us, then it's not prophecy, because it's not a God promise.
Do you see, of course, I know through my lifetime of being a Christian, mm-hmm. I've had a few prophesy mm-hmm. that you're coming into money.
Oh.
And, you know, and I have yet, I have yet seen that.
Sounds like a fortune cookie.
And I'm sitting here going, now, come on. I think prophecy is something different than saying, hey, somebody's, you're going to come into money.
Absolutely.
You know, I think a lot of times when you tell somebody like that, they're really getting their hopes up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, getting their, you know, you're going to get excited. Man, I'm coming in money.
Mm-hmm.
And then it never happens.
Right.
And
well,
then people look bad on that prophecy because, you know, well, he lied to me or she lied to me.
Well, you know what they used to do with prophets that didn't have it come through?
I'm sure they
when
was.
There was a stoning process.
Yeah.
There was a stoning process. So you don't want to be a wrong prophet.
Yeah, be
you
a right
You need to make
prophet.
Sure that you're channeling the right thing.
Yes.
So again, and this is the difference from prophesying and manifesting.
Yes.
When people say, well, I am envisioning or I am manifesting. Well, that's fine. You can envision and manifest all you want.
Yeah.
Joseph, you know, envisioned great things. He started off in a well, then in a slave, then in a jail. He didn't see that coming, you know. Now, the prophecy God gave him, that came true.
Yeah.
But what you manifesting what you envision and what you choose, well, that's a different thing. You're not God.
Yeah.
And so it ain't a God promise. That's a you promise.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but it's not a God promise.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we delineate between those two things. So I was going to get into fortune tellers because you got me off on the subject. You know what? Let's do that. Let's have some fun. I had read there's a detective, former detective in the New York police, and he is now a professional PI.
Okay.
And what he does, quite literally, is his whole entire clientele is people who have been ripped off by fortune tellers.
Okay.
And so he knows the schemes and the process down. And he says, you know, folks think, well, you know, so-and-so lost, you know, $100 to this fortune teller paying him fees. Mm-hmm. He says, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
When the fortune tellers get in touch with you and connect to your family and things of that nature, the scam is to keep having you bring in things of importance to you.
Yeah.
So they can utilize it to help them, you know, envision whatever.
Yeah.
And the deeper they get into your life, the more control they have. And the deeper you get in financially, the more shame you feel. And so what they do is they can then milk that individual literally out of thousands.
Wow.
Thousands and thousands of folks have lost their retirements.
Wow.
Folks have lost everything because they got in with a fortune teller who is just roping them in. Mm-hmm. And so, again, there are folks that I think say things in a positive way, intentionally good, sure, when they manifest over you or something like that. But there are also people who are evil.
Yes.
And so understand, there is no prophecy unless God speaks it.
Yeah.
Prophecy is a God promise, and it can't be otherwise. So to kind of look at that really quickly, we're going to be looking over in Daniel there in chapter 7. And Daniel is going to be speaking about four beasts that he's going to see. And so, Joe, if you would, all I want to do is read about the first beast, if we can. So would you read for me down through verses 1 through 4?
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it."
So he's got a vision here, and this is unique because at this point in Daniel, the visions have always been by somebody else. And he's coming to interpret what they've seen. This time, he sees the vision. And here's the interesting thing, because Daniel's no slouch when it comes to prophecy. Daniel is no slouch when it comes to revelation. He's able to interpret a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kings call him to help them, you know, work out the crossword puzzle that they've now been given as in their visions. And so he has a track record of being literally a vision savant. I mean, this guy knows his stuff, okay? But understand, when God's revealing things, the best savant is still just a human.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interestingly, Daniel in chapter 7, verse 15, says, Daniel was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So the guy that interprets for others is asking to get some
interpretation.
Help with interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you about prophets? What does that tell you about prophecy in general? Well, if it doesn't teach you just a little humility of erring on the side of caution that you may not have the full picture, you may not fully understand what you're looking at, then I don't know how to help you.
you're so
into yourself, you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What Daniel, and I think as revelators go, only John the Revelator, who literally gets the term, is better known for interpreting the prophecies of God.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been other prophets who spoke the prophecy, but they may not have understood them. You know, Amos, as he was prophesying, I don't think he understood all that he was prophesying. You know, Isaiah, as he's prophesying, do you think that he understood all of what he was prophesying? No. He was just speaking the words. He was the spigot.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is pouring out through him. And in truth, even those who heard him couldn't fathom what it meant until Christ was born and we understand the messianic prophecies. And so these prophets are, again, a spigot from which God pours.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not in charge of what the message is.
Yeah.
And this is again, a critical point, because you mentioned people prophesying, you know, riches over you.
Yes.
Okay? Maybe they're well-intentioned.
Maybe.
Okay? But the question becomes, what's your motivation?
Yes.
As a human, what's your motivation?
Mm-hmm.
And also, what verification can you give that this came from God?
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture says the devil comes as an angel of light.
Yes.
And he's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're speaking something that's just in you, you need to have the Spirit check that. Now, folks will say, well, I've got the Spirit, so I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I have the Spirit too.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I go back to God and say, you know what? Like Daniel, the man, the OG prophet.
Yeah.
I go to God and say, I'm not sure I understand all of what you're saying here.
Yep.
Can you help illuminate me?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about prophecy and prophets, we need to begin with the understanding that, again, the prophet is a spigot and God is pouring through him. He may not always understand what it is, and he cannot create it. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what prophecy means literally to the one receiving it and giving it. But at first, we're going to hear some encouraging words from Johnny Erickson Tada.
Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Listen now as Johnny unpacks that poignant proverb.
That's a pretty insightful verse from Proverbs 13. It describes life as it is, doesn't it? Because how many times have you gotten your hopes up and then, I don't know, something ambushes everything and it all comes crashing down? Makes your heart sick, doesn't it? You just feel awful. Well, that was the way I felt shortly after I got out of the hospital from the diving accident in which I became paralyzed. I wanted the use of my hands and legs back. Once I got home, I prayed and prayed that God would miraculously heal my body, and I really believed he would. I mean, I needed faith, so I was calling friends up on the telephone, telling them to watch out for me because soon I knew I'd be walking and I'd come skipping up the driveway. Surprise! Months passed, and after all the prayers, all the anointing with oil, all the confessing of sin, and one healing service after another, it was clear that my healing was not meant to be. And my hopes were dashed. It was then I stumbled across Proverbs 13, verse 12, and boy, did that verse resonate. Hope deferred does make the heart sick. But wait a minute. Stop. Read the verse again. It does not say hope crushed makes the heart sick. It says hope deferred. For some reason, back many years ago, I somehow missed that word deferred. Because, you see, we all know that often the Lord does say no to some of our requests for good and godly things. But is that to say that our hope for that good thing is dashed forever? For that matter, is there any purpose to the ongoing wish that we might yet receive those good things for which we hope? Is there any redeemable value to the wistfulness of reflecting on unfulfilled longings? Well, I think there is. Why so do I think that? Because the word deferred is very different from the word denied. God is not about to, in the end, deny me a request that is good and godly. And as a child of God, I am quite sure that I could not possibly have a good or godly hope or a Christ-honoring desire that I will not find in some way completely and eternally fulfilled in heaven. In other words, friend, my hope for the healing of my body has been postponed. It's been deferred. And someday, I'm going to see that hope fulfilled. One day, I will have my body back in working order and more. Better yet, a far greater body than the one I lost in that diving accident. And yes, my heart now on earth might be mildly disappointed, but in a way, this heart sickness is really kind of a homesickness for heaven. My disappointment is really only a disappointment with earth, because it's earth that can't satisfy. Earth can never keep its promises. But hope will find its fulfillment in heaven. Heaven, where the tree of life is planted, and where all our desires and longings, great and small alike, will finally be fulfilled in our eternal joy as we bask in the presence of Jesus.
And friend, I'm sure you've experienced the heartbreak of a God-honoring hope being dashed to pieces. Today, take some time to read Proverbs 13:12 and see it with new eyes now that you've heard Johnny's fresh insights. And then, why not turn that verse into your own personal prayer? Remember, godly hopes deferred will one day find their fulfillment in heaven. Be blessed today, friend. The best is yet to come.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you." The duo, Simon and Garfunkel, wrote these words in the 60s. "I am a rock, I am an island. I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty, that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock, I am an island." That's not how God wants it to be. God has built us for relationships. You have a friend in Jesus. Call on him today while it's called today. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And now here's a message from Dr. John Franklin, Associational Mission Strategist at the Christian County Baptist Association.
Are you looking for summer fun for your kids and the family? The churches of the Christian County Baptist Association are hosting 3 free block parties for families this summer. There will be bouncers, hot dogs, other food, Kona ice, drawings for free prize giveaways donated by businesses in our association. They include large screen TVs, boys and girls bikes, a lot of different kind of gift cards to restaurants and other places, and these block parties will be in a location near you, either in the north, middle, or south part of the county. The dates and times are Sunday, June 20th at Gordon Park in Crofton, July the 27th at Rough Park in Hopkinsville, and August the 3rd at Oak Grove at Valor Park, and the times are all 5 to 7:30 p.m.
You can register by calling 270-885-8777 or visit ChristianCountyBaptist.com.
Missionary Radio.
Well, this morning we're talking about prophecy. A lot of things have happened over the weekend, and folks have, you know, gone back to biblical prophecy and tried to be working things out. And so we wanted to talk about prophecy, not in trying to interpret the events of the weekend, but to talk about how to correctly hear prophecy, give prophecy, and interpret prophecy. And so from a scriptural standpoint, the things that we've discussed thus far is that prophecy is basically a God promise. It is not a man's manifesting a vision going forward. Folks say, "I manifest this or I manifest that." You don't get to manifest prophecy. Mm-hmm. You are simply speaking for God. 2 Peter chapter 1, it states it very clearly. The prophets don't speak of their own accord. It is God's word that is being flowed through an individual being carried by the Spirit. And so then the question becomes, how do you know when the prophet is speaking truth? Mm-hmm. There's a couple of ways. One, if it comes true or not.
True.
False prophets tend to fail. And we were talking off air. I was talking with Brian, and he was talking about some different folks who had given different prophecies.
Yes.
And so I think we've come up with a fairly good indicator, which is two strikes. Don't take another swing.
Yeah, don't take another swing. Yeah.
You don't want to strike out on this.
No.
So if you're 0-2, you probably need to step back and quit trying to prophesy.
Yes.
Because
yes.
God is the one who speaks. But the other piece is, and this is so critical, prophets are speaking what God says. That means that they don't always understand what it is that God's saying. To think of prophets, we always think of someone who is an authority of God.
Yeah.
And that's who Daniel was. I mean, he was literally the kingdom authority when it came to prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But in this passage, Daniel, who has received this prophecy of God, literally turns in chapter 7, and he says, you know, I'm troubled in my spirit and the visions that have passed through my mind. So I'm approaching one of those standing there and asking him for the meaning. I don't understand what I'm seeing. I don't understand where I'm at. And so when you're talking about prophecy, I would say not simply does the words of the prophet come to pass, but I think that you need to make sure that the prophet you're speaking with has the humility, and I mean the real humility, to be able to be used by God. I always, and we hearken back to this over Friday when we were talking to the Bible Drive, you know, with Billy Russell. Billy was as powerful and fiery a speaker as you've ever heard. I love his tapes when he's preaching, because it's a different Billy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gets on it.
Because with the Alzheimer's he had, it mm-hmm. mellowed him greatly.
That's right.
Although he was still the primary member of the Amen Corner.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Hallelujah Chorus over there. So he was a very strong voice. But to meet him, and this is all through his life, not just during the times of dementia, but all through his life, the thing that I've heard people say over and over and over again was he was such a humble man of God.
Yeah.
His humility was spoken of by, I can't even begin to count how many people. And it wasn't just the times of dementia. I've met people who in their older years are mellowed, like you said, and you knew you did not want to have to tangle with them when they're in their 20s. And by the way, that would be me, so I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Okay.
Just give full disclosure.
Okay.
I've mellowed in my old age. I've realized I know less than I thought I did when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
My wife would have told you that I was cocky and overconfident. And I just felt like I was right. I don't understand the difference, really.
Yeah.
But one of the things that happens with age is you begin to realize there's a whole lot you don't know.
Yeah.
Humility is the key of a prophet. That's not to say they're not bold, they're not strong.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got to be humble, because they have to understand they are not the source. Prophecy comes through God, and you are only the channel. And as soon as you step in the way, then you're no longer prophesying.
Yeah.
So those two things, you have to have someone who is in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, and it has to fit within what God has said, but it has to come from a humble heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got to be accurate. You can judge a tree by its fruit.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yes.
So with what time we have left, we're going to look here real quick at this prophecy of Daniel in chapter 7. And the first beast that comes up out of the ocean that Daniel sees in his vision is the lion. And the lion is with the wings of an eagle, and it has the wings torn off, and it was lifted up from the ground, and then it stood on 2 feet like a 2 feet like a human being with the mind of a human given to it. Well, with the interpretation that has been done for now eons over this particular passage, and literally the interpretation that God gives him that night, our understanding is that this lion is the kingdom of Belshazzar. It is the kingdom that is going to fall to the Medes and the Persians. And so this first kingdom is the kingdom that basically took Israel into captivity and carried Daniel away. And so he's seeing a vision, and everybody thinks, well, it's a futuristic event. It's not. It is a past event, actually, and God is showing him this beast. Now, why is that critical? Well, here's the interesting thing. Prophecy is not always for the prophet to give to somebody else. Some prophecy is for you. Do you realize God can prophesy to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because God can speak to you. And when God makes a promise, that's prophecy. And so Daniel's watching a vision, and the vision is of the kingdom that Belshazzar is now ruling. But literally, if you go back one chapter, you'll find that Belshazzar is already deposed. In chapter 6, we are already into the concept of the Medes and the Persians who have already taken control. So chapter 7, the vision is speaking about a kingdom that's already passed. So my question, Joe, is why is God talking about the past? Daniel's already lived it.
Mm-hmm.
What's this vision got to do with, the cost of a Big Mac? You know, this is already past. This ain't prophecy. This ain't visionary. This ain't future. So why?
Well, it's the progression, I think, of, you know, first of all, he's looking at history.
Mm-hmm.
And then that progresses into the prophecy.
I like it. Very true. And I think you're dead on.
It gives a perspective.
Absolutely. There it is, the word, perspective. So Daniel's going to be giving prophecy about what's coming. In fact, he's going to prophesy about what is right now with the Medes and Persians. He's going to prophesy about what's coming with the Hellenistic Empire of Alexander the Great. But the prophecy begins with history. And one of the reasons it begins with history with this amazing lion is because that's the lion that took Daniel out of his home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kingdom that took Daniel from Jerusalem. And Daniel has to know, in order to understand what's coming, that God was in control in what was past. So today, as we're talking about the things that have happened over the weekend, and folks are going to be starting talking about prophecy all the time, can I just tell you, Daniel was told God was faithful in the past, trust him today, and he's got you tomorrow.
Amen.
I would say the exact same thing for us today. God has held you in the past, trust him today, and he's going to carry you into tomorrow. Well, with that, I'm going to prophesy that we are finished.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.